Hi, I'm Drew, and this is Make Saints. Back when I worked for Barnes & Noble, this was the time of year I dreaded the most. Not because the store got busier, but because we started playing Christmas music on November 1st. Now, each month, corporate would send us a box of CDs to play in the store. And each time it was like 16 or 17 different albums that would be featured for the month. Then when the month was over, they would go out of rotation as a new collection of albums would come in. Now the holiday season was different. They sent a box of 12 discs to play over the course of 2 months. Fewer choices played twice as long. By the time it really was Christmas, I'd had it with Christmas. And I know I'm not the only one. Now, there is something, though, about this time of year. Now, there are two features of this season that we can't help but exhibit. Anticipation and preparation. We're all waiting and watching for Christmas. It is coming soon, right? We want to get ready for it. So we prepare by getting gifts and making things to decorate or give away. These are really natural parts of the season, but not of the season of Christmas, actually, but the season of Advent, the season before that famous season, which is actually kind of funny. It's like Advent and Christmas have a case of mistaken identity. The season of Christmas begins on Christmas Day and then goes for 12 days, right? Hence the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, with all its daily giving of absurd gifts. That time before Christmas, that's Advent. And in Advent, we anticipate and prepare. So we should have this totally in line, all this stuff about Advent. For Pete's sake, people buy Advent calendars that mark the time until Christmas. It is literally in the name. But our love for Christmas has become something else. I suspect that what we actually love is Christmas as Advent. Not so much the arrival of Jesus, but the anticipation of his arrival. In much the same way that we love preparing to give and receive gifts much more than we love being in the moment. Now, I've long fought with this feeling. What Diana Butler Bass describes as the war on Advent. Right? There is no war on Christmas, but Advent has long been pushed away, even by most Christians. I've joined with a group called the Advent Conspiracy to make Advent more central to our traditions, to encourage one another to buy less and be with each other more. I've seen the consumerist impulse of Christmas as a source of sin. Precisely because it leads us to do the very things we ought to not be doing. And I have felt it in myself my whole life. But mostly, I felt like the real victim of this mistaken identity is not Advent. The victim is really Christmas. I have so many memories of Christmas morning full of joy and eager hope, and Christmas afternoons full of boredom and disappointment. The anticipatory glow faded, and the realization that selfish hopes are always bigger than realities. And the 12 days hardly feel Christmassy. Now, people still say Merry Christmas on the second day, the Feast of St. Stephen, and often the third day. But by the time we get to Holy Innocents, we're already hearing Happy New Year's. I resist, of course. I wish everyone a Merry Christmas through the actual Christmas season, like a humbug for Christmas, while everyone is done. Trees at the curb days before. But by the time we're into January, for days 7, 8, 9, Merry Christmas feels less like the phrase of a strict adherent and more like the fool who really just needs to shut up and get with the program. It's telling that the season before Christmas, that is technically not Christmas, is so jolly, but in the season of Christmas, we can't wait to be done. I don't have any bold solutions to Freaky Friday, Advent, and Christmas back into place, and I suspect I don't really want to, because that anticipatory time when people start to get in the Christmas spirit, that this lasts more than 12 days, is probably a net benefit. People are kinder and generous longer. It makes our time spent more joyous and spirited. And now that I'm not working retail, I'm not inundated with the same 12 albums over and over for 40 hours a week. But maybe we should also consider what our ancestors were thinking when they set this pattern for their lives. Because our primary anticipation isn't for a new iPad or wireless earbuds. It's for the coming of Christ, as in here and now. I mean, gift-giving is our metaphor. It helps us see and feel and know the sensation of generosity and gratitude that Jesus invites us to practice daily. But the gifts aren't the thing. And even the giving of gifts isn't entirely the thing. It's that practice of being generous that mirrors the generosity we're invited into. But the anticipation of the coming of Jesus is about the gift that he brings, the kingdom, God's great dream for creation. If you like, a new world order built around equality and compassion. Advent is not about preparing the same things in the same way for the same feelings so that we can feel them and then go back to normal on December 26th. Advent is about preparing for change, lasting change. Advent is about change. So we hear an apocalyptic message. Then we get John the Baptizer proclaiming the need to repent, and then the angel visiting Mary and the preparing for the birth of an immaculate child. Then the birth of the hope of the world comes. And then the king's fear and treachery, the genocide of children and the hiding of the Holy Family. This is the story of Advent and Christmas we tell because our purpose is not to maintain traditions, but to be changed into the very love of God in creation. And our work in Advent is to prepare for change. So, as my daughter turns on Christmas music the day after Thanksgiving, I begin to accept that this is a season of change for me, for everyone, for everything. Change away from selfishness and insecurity, hopelessness and greed, hyper-individualism and abusive practices, right? All the bad stuff. And toward hope, peace, joy, and love. And we start with hope.